This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the BetRivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider.
Welcome to Betting Weekly, the English Championship show on the BetRivers Network. I'm your host, George Ellick, and I'm delighted to be joined ahead of a new season by Jack Wright, as we look ahead at some futures ahead of the EFL season, the English Football League starting on Friday evening with Huddersfield hosting Burnley, a game and a couple of teams I'm sure we're going to talk about shortly. Before we get into our previews, you can follow us both on social media. I'm at George Ellick. Jack, where can people find you?
_Jack_Wright_
There you go. And you can also follow all the other great sports handicappers in our very new and shiny and new Twitter handle at Because We Win. That Twitter handle will be managed by everyone on who you know contributes to the network to promote their shows and picks. And you can see all the personal Twitter handles on there as well. So do check that out. But as we say, we're going to get straight into this because we've got a lot of bets to get through here and not very much time to do it. So this is looking at the futures. This is looking at what we think is going to happen over the course of the next of the season, mainly in the Championship, but also in League One and League Two as well. So we're going to kick off with the Championship preview. And Jack, I've been talking a lot so far, but I'm afraid it's me to go first again. I'm getting first run here as a veteran of the BetRivers network.
That's right. And teach me what's done.
And I'm going to go for a team to win the league in Burnley. Burnley, a plus 1,200 to go ahead and bounce straight back up to the Premier League by winning the Championship, and I'm very surprised by this price. Burnley, you know, relegated teams generally seem to cope pretty well. The gap between the Premier League and the Championship is a pretty big one. And gone are the days, you know, we had about five or six seasons ago, teams coming down were struggling to bounce back up, but that's not the case anymore. And a look at the Premier League table from last season, you'll see that Watford and Norwich were relegated in 19th and 20th place on 23 and 22 points. Burnley in 18th had 35 points. So they were 12 points clear of Watford. Looking at the goal difference, Burnley had a minus 19 goal difference. Watford minus 43, Norwich minus 61. So from where I'm looking at this, you have a team in Burnley who were nearly 15 points better off than the two others they're coming down with. They were closer in points to Brentford than they were to the teams below them. Brentford, you know, a mid-table Premier League side. Yeah. Yes, they've lost key players. You know, we've seen Nathan Collins move on to Wolves. We've seen Ben Mee move to Brentford. But they've also retained quite a lot of good players as well. You know, Josh Brownhill, Jack Cork, Ashley Westwood. Even at the moment, at the time of recording, Dwight McNeil and Maxwell Cornet are still Burnley players. Now, I'm calling it now that if Maxwell Cornet is still a Burnley player at the end of August, he will not just be the best player in the league this season, but possibly the best player we've seen in terms of quality in the Championship ever. There are some negative thoughts around Burnley at the moment around the financial situation. They've got an outstanding loan that needs to be repaid. But Vincent Kompany would not have come to Burnley unless he was assured that there was money to be spent, that there was firm ground with the parachute payments, at least for the next couple of seasons. And I love the business that they've done. League One player of the season, Scott Twine has come in. Also, Luke McNally from Oxford, a very shrewd acquisition. Taylor Harwood-Bellis comes in on loan from Manchester City, being linked to plenty of other good EFL talent as well, including Callum O'Hare and Josh Cullen, maybe the best of the lot. Two great loan spells at Charlton a couple of years ago, played for Kompany at Anderlecht, and now will be the midfield general for Burnley as well. There's just a lot to like, a lot to get excited about. And if Burnley were the same price as Watford and Norwich, would I be tipping them up? Absolutely not. But they should be that price, and they aren't. So capitalise on that. That is the first tip of the EFL show. And it's a strong one for me. I'm very keen on them, Jack. And I know you've got a way to get with Burnley as well.
Absolutely right. And you've said everything, really, to be honest. I can't add much more to that. I think the recruitment has... the recruitment's been special. And I think what Kompany has done is he's gone to places that he knows and players that he knows. He has gone back to Belgium and picked up some great talent from there, and obviously tapped into the resource at Manchester City that he's got. And I think the main signing of Twine really kind of actually shook the Championship a little bit, because people were expecting Burnley to really struggle and not be able to buy anyone. And they've gone in and bought, say, the prize asset from League One last season. A lot of the top end clubs in the Championship were sniffing around. And I think that was a signal of intent. So absolutely, the value is definitely with Burnley. And as you say, I've got them as well. I was stunned to find that won the prize Burnley were for the outrights, but to find them at plus 120 to be best of the Northwest, which I love the title itself, but that market, just to give that for people who are unaware what that is not necessarily for them to win the league, which of course we hope they now do, but just to be the best in their section, which includes Blackburn, Preston, Blackpool and Wigan. Burnley's aspirations are for the title, or certainly for promotion, whereas I suggest all the others at absolute best would be to look to get inside the playoffs. They're way below where Burnley are at. And as far as the clubs, a brief overview of the clubs, you've capped off Burnley perfectly. Blackburn are in a change of direction. They're in a transitional period at the moment, obviously gone from the Tony Mowbray area, which was kind of very pragmatic, I guess you would call it. Taking a little bit of a chance for Jean-Dal Thomason coming in for his first job in English football. They've lost a couple of key players in Lenihan and Rothwell. One nice little pickup in Britain, but not much else. And obviously we've got the Ben Brereton Diaz, the Chilean international, hanging. What's going to happen with this future? Are they going to cash in while they've still got the opportunity to, or are they going to hope that he can potentially get off to a start like he did last season and fire a few goals in? So for me, mid-table's probably where I'd pick them. Preston, I like. Ryan Lowe is a manager I like. We'll come on to him in a moment again. But some interesting signings of the likes of Freddie Woodman and Ben Woodburn. Troy Parrott's just recently signed as well. So see if he can transfer what he did last season in League One into the Championship. Robbie Brady's an interesting one. If he can stay fit, will be an asset. But again, I think they're one of those clubs, and the Championship is full of it. 7th to 17th, you could possibly throw them up in the air a little bit and see where they fall. If they can get Emile Reese firing, then I'd probably put them nearer to 7th. If not, then possibly nearer to 17th. But again, not in Burnley's league as far as I'm concerned. Blackpool, massive loss of Neil Critchley going to Villa. Mike Lapton, safe pair of hands. But again, I'd suggest it would be a season of consolidation. They've just picked up Reese Williams as possibly their most eye-catching signing. There's not been a lot of movement in and out. Josh Bowler's obviously still there at this moment in time, so will they keep him? He was kind of quite key, although he did fade off a bit towards the end of last season. Again, I think if they can guarantee safety, they'd probably sign for that now. And then Wigan, newly promoted as champions of last season. Then they've kind of pretty much kept the faith as it stands at the moment, haven't they? They've not really done an awful lot in the transfer market at all. Very solid side they had last season. They ground out those results. They were very, 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 say, a solid team. But again, another one that's now would like to consolidate inside the Championship rather than possibly looking to be exiting it at the top end. So for me, that Burnley price is phenomenal.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. And you've also, we're going to get to League One and League Two a bit later, but you found a League One bet you want to parlay with the Burnley bet. So we'll skip across to League One as a quick preview of what's to come later on.
Yeah, sure thing. Yeah, I say, obviously, to put up as a season bet, that plus 120 was a little bit on the short side. So we put that together with Plymouth to be the best in the Southwest in League One. And they're at plus 130 independently. But put them together, as we say, and it's a plus 406 parlay, which I think gives us a great, great price to be attacking for the season with. Fantastic campaign for Plymouth last season in League One. And again, this is the same bet, of course. So it's not necessarily about them winning the league or getting promoted. It's just being the best in their section. And to see that they've been put together, obviously geographically, but then been put together with Cheltenham, who were a lower reaching team last season, again, looking at kind of survival. And then three promoted sides in Bristol Rovers, Forest Green Rovers and Exeter. And say Plymouth were all but in the playoffs for virtually every single second of last season, weren't they? Did a fantastic job. Ryan Lowe, incredible start to the season. And although Stephen Schumacher couldn't quite keep them there, I think it was a massive job on his hands filling the big shoes of Ryan Lowe. And he did well. They got 80 points at the end of the season, which I think was the highest point tally not to have got promoted for about the best part of 20 years. It was incredible. And so they just fell away on the last day of the season, finished one place outside the playoffs. And at the time of recording, they've no real major exits. They made some very nice recruitment in my mind, a couple of decent free signings in Michael Miller from Rotherham and Matt Butcher from Accrington. But I really like the loan signings they brought in. Morgan Whitaker from Swansea, I think, is going to be exciting at this level. Ballymumba, exciting wing back as well. So those two connecting out wide will be interesting. And what I'm really looking forward to seeing is the 2022, so last season's League Two Young Player of the Year. Finn Azaz coming in, from Villa.
Very
so
good.
I think that's a hell of a pickup from Plymouth.
It really is. Yeah, he's a fantastic player. Their recruitment is so good. And one of the biggest positives for our guard at the moment is that Panucci Kamara, probably their best player, has a year left on his deal. He was said to be put on the transfer list. I'm not sure if the transfer list really exists, but he was said to be put on the transfer list at the beginning of the summer. Argyle fans expecting that he would be leaving the club, but he seems to have got quite a well-timed injury, which means that maybe he might just still sneak in and be there at the end of August. That'll be a massive, massive plus because he is superb in the middle of the park. So what does the parlay pay?
The parlay pays plus 406.
There you have it. Burnley, best in the Northwest. Plymouth, best in the Southwest. Remember that Plymouth bet is in League One if you're struggling to find it over on the Bet Rivers site. I've got a parlay now. I'm going to rattle through. There are three pretty short price selections. And I wouldn't put you off backing them as singles if that's the way that you like to play it. One of them, unsurprisingly, I don't need to give much reason for this, is Burnley to finish in the top six at plus 120. I can't really believe that's odds against, but here we are. So plus 120, Burnley top six. In a match bet, Bet Rivers' very own Nigel Seeley won't like me for saying this, but Millwall over QPR in a match bet at plus 100. So Millwall being the dogs in that match bet. I really like what QPR are trying to do. I think the appointment of Michael Beale is a very interesting one. I like a couple of the players they've brought in, including Taylor Richards on loan from Brighton. But it just feels to me like it could be a bit of a season of consolidation, of Beale getting his feet under the table, starting to bring in his own players. Whereas I think Millwall are well set to be the dark horses, really, of this season's championship. Gary Rowett continues to do a phenomenal job at that club, getting the very most out of them with a pretty small budget. Yes, they've lost Jed Wallace, and 3 or 4 years ago, Jed Wallace leaving Millwall would have been a disaster, but now they have enough attacking threat, enough quality across the team that I don't think it should harm them too much. I'm really interested to see how his replacement, Zian Fleming, gets on, who's coming from the Eredivisie, having posted some mad numbers. I can't really work out how someone can get his level of goals of assists in the Eredivisie and go to Millwall for $2.5 million. It strikes me as that's normally a Premier League move for double figures. So he could be anything. I'm not going to claim to know too much, but there are players they brought in who I do know a lot about, and that is Benik Afobe, who I'm a huge fan of, who they had last season on loan, is now there full time. And George
Honeyman. Good home for him there, Afobe. Seems that
definitely
that's kind of.
Yeah, and he's someone who needs that consistency and regularity. And George Honeyman as well, who's a really sharp pickup. So I'm positive that Millwall will be no worse than last season. I think they're a good shout for kind of top seven, top eight. And I'm not entirely sure they should be underdogs in the match bet with QPR. And then the final leg of the parlay is Hull to get over 57.5 points. Now, this is a bit of a stab, but I think there's just a chance here that Hull could be the surprise package, where they were bought last season by a Turkish media mogul dubbed the Turkish Simon Cowell, Ashun Ilışali. And there was talk about him bringing in Mesut Özil over during last season. He hasn't quite done that, but he has gone out and brought in some players on paper who should be phenomenally good for the level. Now, there's a couple that we know a lot about. Jean Seri has come in. He didn't have a great time at Fulham, but he should be playing. If he plays regularly every game of next season, fitness permitting, then that is a huge signing. They're being linked with Jan-Paul van Hekker by a
Turkish media outlet, who I think is owned by Ashun Ilıcalı. So that is probably quite a good source of information, as well as Saman Golos from Brentford. They brought in Oscar Estupiñan, whose goal scoring record in the Liga NOS is pretty remarkable as well. Again, normally that translates to a top flight move. And they're being priced up as a mid-table side. Now, obviously, this can go wrong. We've seen, you know, if you think back to the early Wolves days under Walter Zenger, you know, going out to Europe, bringing in loads of flashy-looking, you know, top European talent, or, you know, looking like top European talent for the level, doesn't necessarily always work. But given the fact that their budget is clearly going to be a top six budget in terms of the wages being paid and the fees being paid for players as well, and there's a decent core there. You know, they've lost Keane Lewis-Potter, but they've still got decent players left over from last season too. I'm not sold on Shota Arveladze, but we'll have to see. I just think the overs here, they're being priced up as if they are mid-table fodder, and I think there is a fair chance they could be quite a lot better. So that parlay plays plus 714. It is Burnley top six, Millwall over QPR in a match bet at plus 100, and Hull over 57.5 at minus 118. Getting to the bottom end now of the Championship, Jack, and we've got a couple of relegation bets, although you're actually looking not just for relegation, but the team to prop up the rest of the league.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going for Rotherham, and I really don't want to, because I like Rotherham. I empathise with Rotherham a lot, obviously, as the yo-yo side of between the Championship and League One. I know how horrible it is to be in dubbed that kind of thing. Look, I was extraordinarily impressed with your pronunciations there. I might have left Hull out of my parlay if I had to go for the names that you went through. So I've gone with Rotherham and Paul Warne. And I do feel for him. Said, six seasons now, Rotherham have either been promoted to or relegated out of the Championship. And obviously that continued last season with promotion from League One. And more almost during the celebrations of the promotion party, two of his key players decided that they didn't want to go in the Championship. They wanted to bypass the relegation stage and stay in League One for another season. Obviously, the two Michaels there are massive misses for Rotherham, Ahekwe and Smith.
Yeah,
both ends of the field, particularly Smith, I think, with his, obviously, he was top goal scorer last season. I think his contribution last season was 34% direct contribution to Rotherham's goals. They scored 70 in total. But I think he offers just a lot more than that as well. His all-round play, and I think his appreciation of what Paul Warne needs from a striker in his setup is phenomenal. They've replaced him with Connor Washington and Tom Eaves, who I think they're solid and honest pros, is possibly the best way I can...
They wouldn't be signing for any other Championship team, I can say that.
Yeah, you think, yeah.
I don't think they'd get a Championship move unless it was to Rotherham, sadly, yeah.
Yeah, neither have set the world alight, even at sort of League One level, really, have they, to be fair. So to then take that step up, I agree. So I just think that, I think for me, the bottom three is going to be between, well, we feel with Rotherham, with Reading and with Birmingham. And I think you're probably on similar lines to those suggestions as well. And the reason I've gone for Rotherham is that they're a decent enough price at plus 550. But I think Birmingham, obviously, in this midst of, is the takeover going to happen? I think possibly, if it does, likely to happen, then January is the time when they can throw a little bit of money at potentially survival, or at least kind of having a go at it and getting off the bottom. Whereas I think Rotherham are a little bit hamstrung on that side of things. When with Reading, it was a toss-up for me, bottom between Rotherham and Reading. I'll side with Rotherham purely simply because if, and it is a massive if, capital F-I-F here, Reading can keep their strikers fit, their forward line fit, they have got the ability to score enough goals to at least get off the bottom and possibly even and get out of that bottom three. But so that is a big if. But say for me, I just, you know, Rotherham just haven't got that set up for me this season. I was so disappointed because I thought they'd kind of eked their way. They were, I think, unlucky last time round. I think COVID caught up with them a little bit, where they had a massive backlog of games, which kind of was their undoing, and where they were playing virtually every other day towards the end of the season. So I'd hope this time they'll be able to just progress enough to consolidate their position. But those losses are damaging enough, I think, for me to say that they will struggle again and end up being rock bottom at plus 550.
Yeah, Rotherham to finish bottom. You mentioned Reading there. They're my selection for relegation at plus 175. I've been getting dogs abuse on social media from Reading fans over the last 24 hours. There seems to be some optimism amongst their fan base that the business they've done is very good. I can understand why they would think that, given the constraints that have been put on them, you know, that they can't spend fees, that they can only give out certain lengths of contracts after the points reduction last season. But I'm not really having it, to be honest. I think the players they've lost, you know, John Swift, I know his popularity at Reading massively waned towards the end of his time there because he was perceived not to be putting the effort in. But in terms of pure talent and technical ability, he is probably in the top three or four players in the league. And I know that he's already wowing people at the Hawthorns with what he can do on the ball.
And nobody else created any more chances than him last season. Exactly. He was tied with, yeah.
Like that loss is just, I mean, it's a points loss. It is over the course of the season, losing Swift is losing points. Yeah. Andy Winamota and Josh Laurent as well, two other players who've moved on. They basically lost the heart of their midfield. The keepers they have brought in, I mean, you never want to have a kind of personal go at a footballer, but how Joe Lumley keeps getting championship moves, I do not understand. He consistently at both QPR and then at Middlesbrough gives away goals and gives away points. And they brought in Dean Bouzanis from Sutton United, age 31, to be his understudy. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if Bouzanis ends up being the first team keeper and he's not good enough for a championship keeper. So, I mean, there are some positives, I guess. You know, Tom Ince did a very good job there last season and remains at the club. Paul Ince's manager, who, whilst he did a job to guide them to safety, there are way too many question marks. I think that is a positive. And I think it was unnecessary the club to reward that decent job by giving him the full-time job. I just think there are too many question marks here. And no sets of fans thinks their club is going to get relegated in July, unless it's Derby 21-22. and so it's not surprising that fans get protective over their clubs at this time. But you have to remember that three clubs are going to get relegated from the Championship. And right now, I think it is incredibly difficult to make a case for three other clubs to have a better chance of getting relegated than Reading as it stands. So I think at 175, they are a fair bet. Before we get on to League One and League Two, we've got a couple more markets. One of my favourite markets is the sack race. Next manager to get sacked in the Championship. We saw Carlos Corberan leave in the summer. I mean, so last year, I tweeted the best bet you can have this summer on Antipost Football is Cisco Munoz to be the first manager sacked in the Premier League at 7-1. And I got, again, Watford fans messaging me being like, you know, don't know what you're talking about. The club has changed. You know, there's no way we're not that club anymore. And it was obvious to me that looking in, Watford had probably already had five managers lined up to replace Cisco Munoz. If things didn't start too well, things actually started pretty well and they lost two games and then he was sacked. That is how trigger happy they've been. I agree with Watford fans with the new appointment. I think Rob Edwards is a massive step in the right direction. He's a manager that I absolutely love and have a lot of respect for, both in terms of as a manager and the way he talks about the game and the way he carries himself. So this isn't a bet at all in terms of that. It's just Gino Pozzo is Gino Pozzo, and for all of the goodwill in the world and for everything that, you know, whether it's his decision to appoint Rob Edwards or somebody else at the club, if things don't start well, his trigger finger is too twitchy. And even though I rate the manager and I rate the squad and I think they're going to do well, seeing Edwards as plus 2000 to be the first manager to go is too big a price. I think it's just it's an auto bet with Watford, sadly. And I hope I'm wrong, and I hope that Rob is given the opportunity to create a culture there if things don't start well. But I mean, would you rather be backing him to be the first manager out at that price, or be the other side of it and lay that bet? Because I absolutely know which side I'd want to be. And then the one that I think is probably the best one of the lot, because you and I recorded something together in person yesterday, and you alerted me to this market, and I backed yesterday the one you're going to give us in a second. But the one that I think is absolutely an incredible price is Steve Bruce at plus 2,800, where he managed West Brom for the second half of last season really poorly. And I think everybody at the club, all the fans, wanted and expected his time at the club to end as the season ended. But Ron Gourlay, the CEO, invested his faith in Bruce and gave him a new contract for this season. What that means, though, is that West Brom aren't going into this campaign with a new manager where it's going to take time for them to turn on him. If West Brom start badly on opening day, on Saturday, then Bruce's job is immediately under pressure before, you know, before they've even got the season started. And given the players they've got at their disposal now, the addition of Swift and Wallace, with DK now fit up front, there is absolutely nowhere to hide. This West Brom side have to finish in the top six. They have to be competing for automatic promotion come September and October and be in that bracket. And if they're not, then Bruce will go. So, yeah, I think this is a wrong price. And I love the fact that, you know, you've got John Eustace, the Birmingham boss, as the 6-4 favourite, you know, where I think that's a completely false favourite. I think even though if the takeover does go through, the idea being they might bring their own man. Eustace is a very, very well-respected coach, and I'd be surprised if they were just to tear up his contract on arrival. But there's one you like at an even bigger price than me.
He's the complete outrank outsider, and I agree with what you've now said about those two candidates and the madness kind of at Watford. And
we can back all three. That's a good bit of the price.
Absolutely, yeah, so. These prices. You're right. I'm saying that Dean Smith is the guy that I'm putting forward purely because he shouldn't be as big odds as that he is. He's plus 4,000. You see, he's the rank outsider, and in very, very similar terms to what you then talked about as far as Steve Bruce is concerned. Dean Smith's been in situ since November, and basically, Norwich did get briefly out of the relegation zone under his watch, but then slipped back into it and then regressed and were truly woeful towards the end of last season. And so much that I think the Norwich support at this moment in time, if you look through Twitter, you'll see it's right on a knife edge, and there's not too many supporting Dean Smith. At best, at the moment, there's the kind of the non-negative ones are saying, well, let's give him 5 games, let's give him 10 games, and so I think, as you say with Steve Bruce, if Cardiff away first game of the season, if that goes wrong, the massive amounts of pressure going on to the next game, which is Wigan at home, newly promoted Wigan, live on TV, it promises to be very, very toxic if that result goes the wrong way. There doesn't seem to be a style or identity with the way Norwich are playing at the moment. And for Dean Smith's part, he has not got one player who'll be starting on Saturday that he has signed at this moment in time, at the time of recording. Didn't pick up anyone in the last window. This window, there's two players that have come in. Both are injured. So as we're saying at the moment, he's just literally going to be playing with the side and the players that he inherited. Not good for the way he possibly is trying to play. It doesn't really fit in with the adaptation from Daniel Farke's kind of methods and style. It's a bit of a change. So for me, I just think he's too big a price. Norwich aren't, unlike Watford, aren't really so quick on the trigger, but it potentially could. It has echoes of the League One campaign a few years ago, with season tickets being thrown at the manager after a 7-1 loss in their first home game of the season. Not saying it couldn't be quite that bad, but if it's even anything, there is possibilities that similar stuff could happen. At that point, then the board did react because they could see the fans had kind of spoken. So it's one to say have a sworn interest in, I think, because he shouldn't be that big odds.
Yeah, interesting stuff. Last market there, after those three managers get sacked, a huge price there, Dean Smith. We're going to look at top goal scorer. I don't have a selection here. I think there's none that really crying out to me, but you've got a couple against the field.
Yeah, one that will be familiar with many people watching here is Daryl DK. You mentioned him just a moment ago. We were talking about West Brom. Absolutely. And this will be like a new signing for West Brom. He came in 2 games and then was out for the rest of the season. So having him up top, seeing him in pre-season, he looks sharp. He scored a couple of goals already, a couple of very different goals as well. But for me, the main thing around this is the supply line that's going into him. He proved when he was at Barnsley in that brief spell in the Championship a couple of seasons ago, he was fearsome. 9 goals in 21 for them. And that was the Barnsley side that he kind of was potentially carrying a little bit, to be honest. It's a goal every 158 minutes, which was exceptional. Went back to Orlando, of course, where he scored 11 in 19. So one every 129 minutes. And he's still 22 years of age. So it's an absolute phenomenal talent that your good friend Steve Bruce got to his disposal. Hopefully he can make the most of him. But for me, West Brom have had the best transfer window. Having John Swift and Jed Wallace, two players that we've just mentioned briefly in the past there, were the two hottest free transfer out there. And for any side to pick up one of them, I think was exceptional business. Mm. For one club to have got both of them, I think is absolutely outstanding. They were two of the top three for chances created last season. They combined for Swift had 102 chances created and 13 assisted goals. Wallace was 94 chances created and 12 assisted goals. So a combined 196 chances they created between them. And that is the sound of Daryl DK licking his lips right now. So the guy, if he can get anywhere, say close to that Barnsley form that he showed and stuff that he's shown for Orlando back from injury, which it looks like he's done in pre-season, he will be right up there as far as the top goal scorer is concerned. You add into the likes of Grady Diangana as well, and also Carlin Grant, and that's a kind of fearsome front line that West Brom have got there, if they can make the most of it, which I'm sure they will. I think that he's decent odds there at plus 1,200.
Yeah, great stuff. We've got about 5 minutes to get through about seven bets now, so we're going to have to rattle through these ones going into League One and League Two.
Sure. Last one was the Andres Weimann. I'd like him as well as a saver. 22 goals last season. A repeat will put him close because not many prolific ones in the Championship this season, various reasons. They've kept Semenyo as well. 12 assists, 8 of which went to Weimann. So, and also they brought in Kane Wilson from Forest Green, who made 13 assists. So he looks good at a big price.
Take us straight into League One, Jack, where you've got a top goal scorer bet there. A short enough price, but you're still getting on.
Yeah, it's not. I'm denied because of the price, plus 600, but I'm just going for a course and distance form here, to be honest with you. 2021 season, he plundered 31
Johnson
goals.
Clark Harris, this is.
Johnson Clark Harris for Peterborough. That season, a couple of seasons ago, they finished second, but were top scorers. The side they were second to were Hull, managed by Grant McCann, who is now their manager. He took over last season, and the key highlight for me is that they averaged 0.75 goals before his arrival. They're up to 1.36 upon his him coming into the hot seat. So looking at the competition again in League One, there's not too many prolific goal scorers there. So I think Johnson Clark Harris in a side that should be up there challenging, should be scoring lots of goals. And with his record of scoring goals, with a manager that likes to produce teams that score goals, I'm prepared to take that kind of short price, but plus 600 for him top scorer.
Yeah, good stuff. I've got a few plays in League One. Sheffield Wednesday are favourites to win the league at plus 400, and I think it's a bet. They were one of, if not the best side, in the second half of last season. At League One, having struggled to really get to grips with the league, maybe a bit of complacency after the relegation. They brought in the two Michaels you spoke about earlier, and Michael Smith and Michael Ahikwe from Rotherham. Hennigan, Famwo, Backinson, just really sharp additions to what was already a very good squad. And I think they are rightful favourites and could probably be a little bit shorter to win the league. And then in the best in the Midlands, this is Shrewsbury versus Burton versus Port Vale. I like Shrews at plus 150. Steve Cottrell, the manager, we know that they are going to be at the very worst, very, very solid. They brought in some quality players in Jordan Shipley and Tom Bayliss as well as a couple of others, Che Dunkley at centre-back. And Burton, I think, could really struggle. Vale after promotion would take just staying up, although they have made some eye-catching signings in the last couple of days. And then into League Two, I'll give my two plays, Jack, and then I'll hand over to you to take us away till the end. Mansfield to win the league at plus 900. Beaten playoff finalists last season. The team that is normally beaten at Wembley the season before, if things stay the same, normally get on pretty well the year after. Again, a team who finished the season as one of the best in the division after a really poor start. Nigel Clough, their manager, the definition of a safe pair of hands. A couple of quality additions as well. I don't see any reason why at plus 900 you won't get a pretty good run for your money. And Rochdale relegation. There aren't any clubs on the brink this year in League Two at the moment, but Rochdale look like they could be if one is going to go. Not a great season last season. I've lost loads of quality players in the last 18 months without really replacing them as well. So they're my tip for relegation. You got 2 minutes, Jack, to get through two bets. Minute each.
More than enough. Colchester to get relegated. So we're going to pick the bottom two in League Two. And as you said, there's no real club screaming, I'm a crisis club this season. But Colchester probably as close as you're going to get to it with what's going on there. seems that their kind of system is players that are just about to retire mixed with players that have just come out of the academy. And I just don't see them any, basically there's been no signs of progress. They've regressed, I think, over the last few years. And I don't see what they've delivered. Wayne Brown came in and did a good job last season. Bit definite new manager bounce there. I can't see that being sustainable with kind of a blend of cast-offs and homegrown youngsters. So two key players that they're losing, Wiredu and George as well. Goalkeeper did well for them. I think it's a key position for Colchester. So I've got them getting relegated at +550.
Lovely stuff. And the final selection of the lot?
It was Jaden Stockley, actually, but that's League One.
Of course. My bad.
Yeah. So
take us through it anyway.
+1,800, mainly because their manager signed from Swindon, all out attack philosophy. He got 13 last season, did Stockley, and there could well be plenty of goals at Charlton this season for him to get to feast on.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a good player. And I think the Ben Garner at Charlton certainly will be an attractive watch, Charlton.
Yeah.
Stockley should be the beneficiary of that. That brings our English Championship show, Betting Weekly on the Bet Rivers Network, to a close, the opening one. After this, we're going to record a preview for the opening weekend. So do please subscribe to the Bet Rivers Network YouTube channel. And leave a review as well, if you can as well. That would be great. And you can download this and all the other brilliant content that the BetRivers are putting out, the BetRivers Network, on your preferred podcast provider as well. Remember, you can search for the new Twitter handle, at Because We Win, and there you can find mine, Jack, and all the other sports handicappers' individual handles on there as well. But thank you very much to Jack for sharing his thoughts. Hopefully some winners there. I'd normally say we'll see you next week, but we'll actually see you in about 5 minutes because we are now off to record our Game One week preview as well. Cheers. Thanks for listening and thanks for watching.